So if you'll open your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. As we continue to work through the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come now to another miracle. Beginning at Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Hear the word of God. And a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse, after hearing about Jesus, came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she thought, if I just touch his garments, I shall get well. And immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude pressing in on you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Let us pray. Father, as we study this scripture this morning, we ask that you would help us to understand it, that you would apply it to our hearts as we approach the table of the Lord, and not forget all of his benefits. Hear our prayer, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This healing of our Lord Jesus Christ is meant to be what all the miracles were meant to be: illustrations of his power and of his goodness and of his willingness to help those who are in need. As a pastor, I've seen much physical suffering. I've seen holy saints of God on deathbeds pray for healing, and then the Lord took their life. I've seen godly people, much more godly than I, remain in wheelchairs and with rheumatoid arthritis. Sometimes God heals, and sometimes he does not, as in Paul's case in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 12. In this case, when our Lord was upon the earth, his healings were used as illustrations of his Saviorhood. That is why John wrote at the end of his chapter, "These things have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and in believing may have eternal life." And that's how we must look upon this healing. In this case, it was God's will to heal this woman. It is not always his will. We must pray for his healing and accept his will. I've also seen much spiritual suffering, and I believe that is worse, where guilt clouds the mind, worry steals the peace of the heart, bitterness robs us of the love of others because we are too busy hating them. Where temptation with sin defeats joy and robs assurance of salvation. And even the body is afflicted in spiritual anguish. That is why David said when he had sinned that his bones felt broken and he asked God to heal them. This miracle of our Lord Jesus Christ is about a woman. It's a sermon especially for women, but it's really a sermon for those who are weak. Our Lord loved women. He had a tender place in his heart for his mother and his sisters and his women friends, and made sure before his spirit departed his body on the cross that the beloved disciple John would take care of his mother. He treated women with respect, sometimes to the frustration of his male disciples. Our Lord Jesus Christ warns men that they should be careful in how they treat the daughters of the Lord. This woman was pitifully ill, both physically and spiritually. And yet one touch of the Master, one touch of the hem of his garment, made her an example of all who come in weak faith to a strong God. This is a sermon for those who are weak in faith and need the greater power of Jesus Christ. Consider her pitiful condition this morning. It says that she was in a flow of blood for 12 years. We do not know exactly what her physical sickness was, but she was very anemic, tired and weak, drained physically, and had to be drained spiritually as well. She was considered an outcast in society. For a woman with such a flow of blood could not come down to the temple, could not enter the synagogue. And anyone who touched her, according to the Levitical laws, had to cleanse themselves. She knew what it was to be rejected, to be despised. She was poor. She had been to many physicians, had spent all of her money, and had suffered much at the hands of those physicians, and yet was worse and getting worse. This woman needed help. She was in a pitiful condition. There are times when I've looked upon this passage and thank God that it was in the Bible, because it gives hope to the weak in faith. Those who feel like there is nowhere else to turn, that you have tried everything and there's nothing else you can do. She was pitiful in her condition, but she was also desperate in her faith. And that's what saving faith is about. Knowing God, it's not something that you add to your life. It is replacing yourself with Him as the center of your life. It is a desperate faith that must have Him or die. This woman had nowhere else to turn. There was nothing else she could do. She had tried everything and was getting worse. Some of the elements about her saving faith are these. She heard about Jesus. She had heard that he had healed many, probably. In Mark 3:10, it says that many touched him and were healed instantly. She perhaps heard this before. As she saw him in the midst of going to heal the daughter of Jairus, this crowd was pressing around him, touching him. And she saw him from a distance. And she thought in her mind, perhaps if I touch him, something extraordinary will happen to me. If I but touch him, she had faith. Faith comes by hearing, and she had heard. She saw him. She perhaps had heard others speak of his healing powers. And she would let nothing stop her from getting to him. He was surrounded by a multitude pressing in upon him. Somehow she elbowed her way into him. If any man is thirsty, Jesus said, let him come to me and drink. But you have to be thirsty. God is not an appendage to your life. He is not a worship service on Sunday. He is not a tithe in the offering plate. He is the God who made us. Who made us to know him, not just know about him. Who made us to love him. Not just give him a token of affection now and then. This woman's faith began small. It's about as small as you can get it. While everyone was pressing in upon Jesus, the only thing that was upon her mind was to get to him and to touch him. If I just touch the hem of his garments, she said, I shall be made well. In those days, many Jewish men had an outer cloak that had four tassels to it. And Luke seems to record that she wanted to touch one of the tassels of his garment. This is what faith is. It is simply getting to Christ. Getting there any way you can. Coming to him as you are. She had absolutely nothing to offer him. She was unclean, unclean in every man and woman's eyes. No physician could help her. She was poor as far as we know. All her money was spent and she was begging on the street. We do not know. Nothing to commend herself to Christ. Yet she said, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made well. She was unworthy to come to him, but she didn't care. If she was not going to be healed, there was one thing she would not leave out of her attempt, and that is to touch Jesus Christ. She didn't care how unclean she was. She knew that he could help her. She had a warrant to come to Christ. A warrant is something that you get when you are called to go to court. It's a summons. You be there at such and such a time. And the Bible says that she had a warrant to come to Christ. For he had already said in the hearing of multitudes, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's a warrant. You come, I will receive. He had already said, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will not cast out. She had a warrant from the voice of Jesus Christ in her hand. It said, come, come. The last words in the book of Revelation are, come, ye who are thirsty, come. The Spirit and the bride says, come. She didn't know everything, but she knew he had healed other people. And she knew that she was desperate and that he had said, come. Let not conscience make you linger, nor a fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. This he gives you. This he gives you. It is the Spirit's rising beam. You're like this woman, and you need cleansing and healing and forgiveness and help. The only thing that prevents you is your unwillingness to come to him. You have good warrant to come. If I but touch the hem of his garments, I shall be saved, she said. And she found it so. The third element of her saving faith is in these words. She came up in the crowd behind him and touched his garment. She came to him. She could have stayed where she was and prayed, Jesus, look at me and heal me. Or you come to me and heal me. But she did not do that. She didn't care what anybody else thought anymore. There is no such thing as secret Christianity. How shall he be displayed upon a cruel cross for the whole world to spit upon and ridicule and curse? For our sins, despised before men, afflicted by God on our behalf. And we refuse to confess his name to men. She was unworthy. She had to be embarrassed. But she let go of all pride and self-sufficiency and concern for what others think in her desperate attempt to find the living God and touch the hem of Jesus Christ. But you must touch him. Actually, touch him. She touched his outer garments, and immediately the flow of blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. To touch him means you give up all plans of self-help and self-righteousness. You have no other hope but in him, no other Savior but in him. That you're coming to submit to whatever he says to do. You're coming to touch him, to bow to him. Matthew Henry said, what is done by faith on earth is ratified in heaven. And the interesting thing about this scene and this particular miracle is that Jesus did not even know that he had healed her. He did not reach out and touch her. He did not seek her out to heal her. He was on his way to someone's house to heal a daughter. She just reached out and touched him. If there is anyone here who thinks God will not receive you, this healing is for you. You think God is too busy for you because he's on the way to do something else? Look at this woman. She touched him. Do you think you're too sinful to be forgiven of your sins? She was cleansed. Do you think that God would not care for you personally, to know you, to love you? Jesus turned to her and said, "Who touched my garments?" And then he said, "Go into peace. Your faith has made you well." Saving faith comes to Christ as you are, touches him as you can, bows to him as the one who heals and helps, and receives the power from him. But our Lord demanded something of this woman. "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go into peace and be healed of your affliction." She was already healed physically, but now he demanded that she live in peace with God, in recognition that he had healed her, and to every day be continually healed of her affliction, to never forget what he had done for her. And do you think that she could? If you had been sick for 12 years, totally broke, physically worse, and you just touched the hem of his garment and were made completely whole, do you think you would ever forget it? Yet how easily God's people get over the first fires of love to the Savior. For us to be snatched from our destiny of judgment and hell and to be placed in the highest courts of heaven forever is something never to be forgotten. And we have a table here that Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me," because he knew how quickly we would forget. But he also knew that we cannot live for him and bring honor to him unless we remember. Is there anyone here who has forgotten when they touched the hem of Jesus' garment and were made whole? This table is given to remind you. Jesus Christ had to suffer and to die and to bleed for one sin's forgiveness. It only took one sin to plunge us into the misery and the war and the suffering that we see in the whole human race today. One sin. It only takes one sin of the human heart to cause us to stand before the living, good God, undone and without a Savior. But thank God it took one act of obedience, summarized when a hand was laid upon a piece of wood and pierced, and unto death he obeyed his Father's goodwill for sinners. We must remember that. We must remember that every day. we must be grateful that we who have touched the hem of his garment have been healed by God's grace. Our Lord required that this woman confess her faith. He felt the power go out from her, from himself. And he demanded that she step forth when he asked, "Who touched me?" If you have come to know Jesus Christ and be saved by his blood and righteousness, you must confess your faith. You must stand forth from the crowd and answer his call, "Who touched me?" You must say, "I did." Before God, before men, in the baptismal waters, at the Lord's table, and outside these four walls in the world. Would you confess Christ on Sunday and be ashamed to confess him on Monday? Would you worship him in the sanctuary and deny him in the workplace? He did not do that. Unto death, for our good, he confessed us before his Father who is in heaven. And we must confess him to the world. Quit being afraid of what others may think. How can a woman who is healed of an affliction 12 years care what others think? How can a soul who's been granted the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life and the presence of God and the love of God be ashamed of him in public? If you believe in Jesus Christ, you must confess him. If you have touched the hem of his garment as a sinner who can do nothing else, you are healed and you must confess that. Before the church and before the world, our Lord Jesus Christ said to this woman, "Your faith has made you well." This miracle is so one-sided, it leaves any doubts out of our minds. If you wish to be healed, if you wish to be forgiven, if you wish to have heaven as your home and Christ as your Lord, just come to him, and he is yours. But you must live for him as well. Let us pray.